together, what God accomplished. And we kind of storied through the whole big picture of the Bible, if you will. We talked about creation, how God has made all things, spoke it into existence, and how He created Adam and Eve in His own image, and how He created the perfect Garden of Eden and placed them there. And then we talked about the fall. Man, we still fall prey to this trap today. Mankind doubted God's goodness and tried it his own way. And when man, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God, sin entered the world, and the world has been wrecked ever since. And we live now in a fallen world. That's why we have such calamity around us. That's why there's sickness and death and flooding and storms, and just we live in a broken world. Then we talked about redemption, how God initiated from before the foundations of this world, He had a plan to redeem mankind and to redeem this broken, fallen world. So we talked about creation, we talked about the fall, we talked about redemption. Today, we're just going to talk for a minute, a glimpse of restoration. There's a day coming. The longer I live, the more I learn to long for it. When God makes everything right, He restores it. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Everything will be made as it should be. Don't you long for that day? Longing for that day helps us not to try to take vengeance for ourselves when we're wronged, because we know God's going to make everything right. Justin. Private joke, sorry. The beauty of a small church. Longing for that day helps us to endure hardship now, suffering now. If you haven't, you will experience some hard times in this fallen world. But it's temporary. And we long for the day that God restores it all for all of eternity, when there is no more sin. Y'all, I'm a sinner. I fall short every day. I blow it. I need grace. You need grace. There's a day coming when sin will be no more. Restoration. Don't you look forward, not even just not having to deal with each other's sinfulness, but not even having a sin nature to struggle against and wrestle with ourselves. It will all be made right. It will all be restored to God's original design. Now, that day's coming, which means it has not come yet. That day's coming, but we still have work to do until that day comes. Have you ever wondered why God leaves us here after He saves us? I mean, don't you just wish He'd just take us straight to heaven? I do. Y'all, Lord willing, I still got years to live and things to experience on this earth. And I'm tempted often to cling to the temporal life that I have now. By faith, I believe with every fiber in me that heaven's better. And the new heaven and new earth is this world doesn't compare. And so we should all learn to long for that day and long for all of those that we come into contact with to be right with God for that day. There's a day of reckoning coming. And today we're going to look at Revelation chapter 7, read a few verses, and use that to kind of help realign us as a church with God's vision. Think about it. Do you have a vision for your life? Do you have a purpose statement for your life? We have a vision as a church, a mission, right, to accomplish. We want it to be tied to God's vision, what He is working toward. And think about it like this. If you hitch your cart to God's vision, you can't go wrong. No matter what you lose on this earth, you gain that much more in eternity. If you live this temporal life for God's kingdom, you will celebrate all of eternity what you lost on this earth to gain what you can't lose. Remember what Jim Elliot said? He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. The way we do that is by remembering God's vision, attaching our lives to that vision, and as a church family, making sure we stay focused on that vision. This is vital. So, Revelation chapter 7, I'm going to read verses 7 through 12, and we'll talk about it. I'm going to start in verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number . Can you picture that? An uncountable multitude. What do they look like? Where are they from? What language do they speak? What's their culture? They're from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." That day's coming. You can take it to the bank. It's coming. It's partially happening now. It's coming. Whew, Father, we bow before you in this moment, begging you to help us grasp this reality. Lord, embed it into our hearts. Use it, God, to fan a flame in us for what you love. And God, what you have accomplished through the salvation in Christ, what you are working towards, God, for that every single nation, every language, every tribe, every people be worshiping before your throne. God, I thank you that you are not just a God of America. You're not just the God of the Jews. You're not just the God of one continent or people or even generation. You alone are God. There is no God but you. You are righteous and pure and holy. You are worthy. You are worthy of the praise of all peoples. Lord, break our hearts that there are people that don't know you yet. Neighbors that don't know you. Family members that don't know you. Entire people groups that have never heard your name, who are born and live and die without ever knowing your salvation. God, we stand on the promise of your word that they will be represented before your throne. And God, I beg you to burden our hearts to live to that end. God, help us now. Would you work in every heart in this room? Would you do for every individual in this room exactly what they need you to do? In Jesus' name. Amen. What a vision. What a promise. What a God. Do you believe that this is true? This is God's word. Every bit of it is God's word. And there will be people of the whole world. Why? Because he deserves the worship of the whole world. He is glorious. He is righteous. He is pure. He is just. He is merciful and kind and righteous. He is a God of wrath that makes things right. He does avenge. He's a God of tenderness and patience and long suffering. A God that could just burn it all up right now, but patiently waits and endures so that all peoples can come to know him. There's a day coming. We just read about it. When we, those of you in this room who are in Christ, will gather with brothers and sisters, I mean, closer than blood relation. We are related through the blood of the Lamb. That's how our robes are going to be white. Our robes will be white because they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We will be righteous and able to stand in the presence of a holy God because of Jesus. And together, we will worship him. Together, in all of these languages, all of these backgrounds, all of these colors, and all of these facial features, all of these cultures represented, all of these backgrounds and baggages, people that you would think are horrible, people that have done horrible things, people that you might think are good that are not, all of us that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb will be gathered together praising Jesus for who he is and what he has done, and God will make everything right. No more tears. No more sickness. No more sin. No more racism. No more bigotry. No more division. We will be unified by the blood of the Lamb, worshiping our Creator, who made us in diversity for his splendor. What a day. What a day. This end vision drives what we do. It drives who we are. It drives what we're about. It drives how we spend our time. It drives how we love other people that are hard to love. It drives how we spend our resources, our money. It must. As a church family, we are seeking to obey the Great Commission together. Matthew 28, Jesus had died on the cross for our sin. He had risen from the grave. He had spent time with his disciples. He gathers them together and he reminds them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, based on that authority, he said, go therefore and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age. He commissioned them and through them and the disciples that they made and the disciples that they made and the churches that they planted from continents and generations back to here now gave us that commission based on his authority and power to go and make disciples. What's a disciple? Y'all remember when Jesus told, he started calling the first disciples, he said, follow me and I'll make you what? fishers of men. And in that invitation, we see the definition of a disciple. Disciples are people who know and follow Jesus. They're being transformed by Him. He said, I'm going to make you into something. We're being transformed by Him, and we are committed to His mission, fishers of men. That's what it is to be a disciple. How do you become one? Faith and repentance. Faith in Christ. We can't earn it. We can't be good enough. We can't do it in our own power. But when we recognize this gospel message as truth and we turn from our ways to God's ways and put all of our confidence in Jesus, we are born again. Not just physically, but spiritually. And then we enter into discipleship. Not, listen to me, this isn't cultural Christianity. This isn't average church attendance. This is discipleship. And that's why we have gospel life as the name of our church, because we can't do it apart from the gospel. We have to be living the gospel life, dependent on Him for salvation, dependent on Him for sanctification, dependent on Him for victory, dependent on Him to accomplish His purposes in and through us. It's got to be God. But what might He do? Make disciples. We are, as a church, committed to this so that the vision of Revelation 7:9 will be fulfilled. What's the best way for Gospel Life Church to reach the nations? To make disciples that make disciples that make disciples that love God and live for His kingdom. If we are faithful to that end, God will use us even more to reach the nations with His gospel. We want our lives to be about what God is about. We want Gospel Life Church to be about what God is about. Now, Revelation 7:9 says, people that represent every nation, that's people group. That's not necessarily geopolitical boundaries. They change, right? Names of countries change. Countries cease to exist and start to exist. These are people groups. Ethnic groups, people that are bound together by culture, by language, by belief systems. It's the people that would marry within themselves, and then there's people that they wouldn't marry. Those are different people groups, if you will. Today, there are roughly 8.1 billion people in this world. That's a lot of people. These numbers differ. I got this off of peoplegroups.org. This is through the IMB. 12,263 people groups. That's a lot of people groups. Some are huge. Some are very small. There are 7,324 unreached people groups, which means less than 2% of the population are Christians. They're considered unreached. A lot of this, these are statistics and things. I mean, we're doing our best to seek to be faithful to reach the nations, right? God may have a different definition of people groups. He might say there's only 12,001. I don't know. But we're trying to be good stewards of this call and have some handles. So 7,324 of those 12,000 people groups make up 4.8 billion people. Half the people in the world are unreached. They don't know Jesus. They're going to die and go to hell unless someone reaches them with the gospel. Now, out of those, 3,118 are unengaged in unreached people groups. That's about 282 million people. What that means are, there are 3,000 plus people groups that are not reached with the gospel, and there's nobody seeking to reach them. Maybe it's because of access. There are countries in this world that you can't get into. God can and does and is. It's funny when you go to a place you thought there weren't any believers, and guess what? God's already been there, right? But these are big picture numbers for us to be strategic, not just as a convention or a mission board, but as a church and as individuals. every week we pray for unreached peoples here because we want to have a heart for what God has a heart for. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, Jesus told his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." What I love about that story is, right after they prayed, he sent them out to go be answers to their prayer. Careful, right? I hope every one of you have a list of people that you're praying for that are lost. Every one of you, at least five people that are far from God, that you are praying for every day, that God would save them, that God would open their eyes, that God would break them of their sin, that God would give them, just make them miserable in their emptiness, that God would radically open their hearts to receive his gospel. And I pray that you're not just praying, but that you're seeking to share with them. I would encourage you to set a daily reminder. You want to be cute and fun? Luke chapter 10, verse 2, pray earnestly that the Lord of the harvest would thrust out laborers. At 10:02 a.m. or p.m., you choose. Or both, if you're awake. Set an alarm every day at 10:02 to go off and pray for the harvest. Let's be people about this vision, about this kingdom. Now, let's bring it closer to home. There's approximately 200,000 people in DeSoto County, Mississippi. About 70,000 claim to belong to evangelical churches. So that'd be about 35% of the population. Now, claiming to belong to a church doesn't mean faithful attendance. It doesn't mean you're a Christian. And it doesn't mean that you're committed to the Great Commission. But 70,000 claim to belong to an evangelical church. That means about 65% don't even claim to belong to an evangelical church. Now, in our association, in DeSoto County, there's about 40,000 SBC churches. We belong to the Southern Baptist Convention, and we give to that end so that we can send missionaries to the whole world. And we're going to talk about that more in just a minute. So 40,000 doesn't mean those churches are solid. Doesn't mean that they're faithfully reaching people either. Some are big, some are little. Listen to this. This blew me away. With a combined membership of about 13,000 people. It's not that many. Cochran. Did you know you're in Cochran? Almost in Cochran. We're closer to Cochran than we are anything else. You blink, you'll miss it. Dollar General, gas station, Mexican restaurant. Gospel Life. Come on. Within a 15-minute drive, a radius, from Dollar General, over 80,000 people. Did y'all know there's that many people? Now think about it. In 15 minutes, you can get, you know, on the edge of Hernando. You can get down into Independence. You can get on the edge of Olive Branch, and you can get all of the Lewisburg area to the, you know, up and down 69. 15 minutes is incredibly reachable. 80,000 people. If the stats hold true in this area as all of the county, 65% don't even claim to belong to a church. This is a growing area. And I think this area has a great need for a Great Commission church. And guess what? We're a Great Commission church. I don't say that out of pride or looking down on other bodies of Christ. I'm just saying we want desperately, if anything else, we want to be a church that is committed to making disciples, that are equipped to make disciples, that has a heart to reach the world for Christ. What might God do? So, Gospel Life Church, what's our vision? We are to living the gospel life to glorify God and make disciples. Our goal is to train every single member to live for the Great Commission. Our goal as a body is to pray, to give, to go, and to send to the nations. In January of 2023, about 40 mission team members, core team members, started meeting together to pray about planting a church. Met on Sunday nights. Most of us were from Longview Point, but some were scattered out from different places, some from this area that heard about what God was doing. And we met every Sunday night, and we talked about the Great Commission, and we talked about church planting, and we talked about the harvest, and we talked about making disciples and being disciples. We went into detail, to depth, about being a simple church, about discipling our children to love God and being a faith family, a village, raising our children together for the kingdom of God. In June, we started gathering on Sunday mornings here. Now, that was a miracle in and of itself. We were told by almost everybody we talked to, they're not going to let you meet in a school. And we thought, well, why don't we pray and fast about it? And why don't we just ask God to make it happen? Guess what? He made it happen. I mean, it was incredible, the favor that God gave us. We've been meeting here since June of 23. By God's grace, we have been given another year. By God's grace. We're praying and begging God to give us land, to give us a permanent location. Not because, honestly, y'all, it's not because we feel like a church is a building or you have to have a building to be a church. But we do want a missions outpost where we can love on this community. But more than that, we just can't be here forever. I love this. This is awesome. I love having church in a cafeteria. You know why? Because it reminds us that the church is the body. I mean, coming together and stacking chairs and putting up tables and setting up for sound every week. It's a joy. Dust mopping these floors is a joy that God allows us to meet here. I'd say we average about 75 now, sometimes less, sometimes more. God's added to our number. A lot from this local area. Praise God for that. Isn't it encouraging to see what He's done? Since we started meeting, we've been able to have 12 baptisms. It's kind of hard to keep up with that because some of them have been in homes. Some of them have been in ponds. Some of them have been in horse troughs. Some of them have been inside this room, and some have been outside. But here's what I love about it. We've had people baptized here that are from the families represented where parents were able to be a part of baptizing their children, being a part of leading their kids to faith and being a part of them being baptized. We've had men from the jail get baptized. We've had women from Kingdom Life get baptized. Literally in bathtubs and horse troughs. Isn't that cool? Was that? Oh, yeah. That was before we had a horse trough. JP got baptized in a little tub, a little tote. I love seeing disciples released to fulfill the Great Commission and to baptize those who they've helped come to Christ. I celebrate that. I celebrate it. I love being able to baptize people, but y'all, I love even more seeing you baptize those that you have led to faith. I love it. I love it. We've had mission trips from this church, even as a core team, in our early phases that have gone so far to India, to Japan, and to Uganda. Part of those trips were training pastors. John and Sharon got to go to Uganda and train coaches. They're basically planting churches, whether they know it or not, among refugees. It's still 2024. We got to go and do a marriage conference in India with a bunch of pastors and church leaders who were first generation believers. And we got to teach them from God's word what marriage looks like and what marriage points to and how our marriage is a way to be a testimony and a gospel witness to those watching. We've gotten to share the gospel with dozens of unreached, I guess formerly unengaged peoples. Little bitty old Gospel Life Church in Cochran, Mississippi, that's a year and a half old if you count us starting in June of last year, has been used by God to do those things. Some of you guys got passports for the first time and went out of the country for the first time. That's big. That is praiseworthy. You're getting in the game. We got a group of 10 going this week to a missions conference for college students where people are going to pound them with the Great Commission and pound them and beg them not to waste their lives on the things that the American dream says they're supposed to live for, but to live for eternity and to live for God's kingdom and to lay aside the things of this world and to take the gospel where it is not. I got two kids going. And if God calls them to go to the nations, I beg He'll help me do it with open hands. Pray, give, go, send. Since we started meeting, we've knocked on 415 plus doors in our area. That's a lot of knocking. That's a lot of doors. And we, y'all, time we go. And God gives grace. And He has given us opportunities to meet people in their need and to pray over people who were desperate for prayer, to speak truth and encourage, to see people who are unchurched be churched. God has used that. It's been hard. It's been scary. This is our mission field. Through the members of Gospel Life Church, we've been able to minister to the Lewisburg Middle School staff and teachers. We're going to feed them, not this Monday, but the Monday they come back. I think it's the 6th. We're going to feed them breakfast. Y'all come on up here and put on a smile and help us feed them some breakfast. We've been prayer walking the schools last week and this week with thank you cards, and we're writing thank you cards to every single teacher and just letting them know Gospel Life Church is praying for you. Thank you for what you do. You can stay later today and you can do it. And you can come early next Sunday and you can do it. We're not done yet. We still have a couple halls to knock out. You can be a part of that. Minister to the teachers, the LMS school, the DeSoto County jail, going and seeing, sharing the gospel and seeing men get saved and seeing men become disciple makers inside the jail. Seeing Gordon saw a church get started in the DeSoto County jail led by inmates. Baptizing each other, taking up an offering, having worship services, I think almost every day now. And then when people get sent down to the penitentiary, they send them off as missionaries. Had the privilege to minister to the Kingdom Life ladies that Guy and Lisa are involved in. That's a privilege to partner with them and to love on these ladies and to just remind them how valuable they are in God's sight. We got FCA represented. Got to get to be a part of what John is sharing and FCA is doing across this county. And a lot of you guys have been part of some of their trainings. Gordon's going down to the Holly Springs Penitentiary now. I guess that's what you call it, but that's what it is. God's doing amazing things down there. We get to partner with them. We got to help provide a bunch of honey buns that they were able to use to minister to folks. You guys provided over 300 cookies last week. For Gordon to go, do what? 1,000 pair of socks. I didn't even know about socks. Y'all, this isn't just giving socks to people. This is equipping men of God that are saved brothers in Christ in this penitentiary that have churches with pastors and deacons and ushers that are inmates. Some of them have life, and they're lifelong missionaries in the penitentiary system. And we are providing for them the bait. And they get to use that to preach Jesus to 1,000 people. What's God, man, y'all. One day, I don't think any of us can handle it now because we're so prideful. But one day in heaven, we'll get to look back without a sin nature to taint it and see all that God used us to accomplish and just give Him all the glory. I'm not bragging on us. I'm bragging on God. But it's good to be reminded of what He's doing and why we do what we do. In 2023, just from our budget given, we gave $3,400, a little bit over that, straight to the International Mission Board. The International Mission Board has about 5,000 missionaries all over the world, and they're seeking to get them to the places where the gospel is not. We have partnerships with IMB missionaries as a church. We see what they're doing to get the gospel where it's not. And as a little bitty old church that met for a half a year, we get just out of our budget, we gave $3,400. And then for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, which every penny of that goes straight to the mission field, we gave $7,400 on top of the $3,400. As a little bitty old church plant that met for a half a year. This year, we've already, I don't have current numbers, but through the end of October, we've already given $4,100 out of our 2024 budget to the International Mission Board. And we've already received $3,600 for Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So far, I want to put this into perspective. Every penny and keeping them there. So as a church that's been meeting and taking up an offering and given to Lottie Moon for a year and a half, we've given over $18,000 to the International Mission Board. That's huge. That's huge. Our total missions budget, now that's local missions and missions period, that's helping with Kingdom Life and FCA, and that's helping with sending people on mission trips. I mean, our total mission budget for 2025 is $46,000. That's almost 20% of our budget. Why? Because we want to be a church that has a heart for what God has a heart for, and that is the nations knowing Him. We want to be a church that puts our money where our mouth is. We want to be a church that doesn't just say it, but goes. We have to be. If we're not, why are we? What are we doing? We don't need another country club. We need to be focused on the Great Commission. We need to be making healthy disciples. Y'all, you can't grow in Christ without being uncomfortable. You can't stay where you are and be growing in Christ. The best way to fulfill the Great Commission is to make healthy disciples where you are. In your home, at your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your family, in your old friend group. New friend group. Everything that gospel life does, y'all, has a purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission. You need to hear me say this. We need to say this more. We're not trying to be busy for the sake of busyness. We're not really that busy of a church if you think about the things on our calendar. But everything that we do matters. Our small groups exist to make disciples that are equipped to make disciples. When we meet together and we look back and we do accountability and highs and lows, that has incredible intention to take the mask off and be real with each other, to point each other to Christ, to hold each other accountable, to share the gospel throughout the week. We meet together and look back, and then we look up and we study the Bible. It's intentional that when we meet together, it's based on studying the Bible together. And we use the sword method. What does it say about God, man, sin, examples or commands to follow so that you're not just studying the Bible together. You don't just have by the Holy Spirit in you as the bride of Christ, studying God's Word together and seeing what it says. And inadvertently, you're learning how to study the Bible yourself. You're learning how to study the Bible as a family with your kids. You're learning how to study the Bible and teach others how to study the Bible too. You know what I do when I go to the jail? I use the three-thirds, looking back, looking up, looking ahead. You know what I do when I study the Bible? I use a sword method. What does it say about God? What does it say about man? Are there sins to avoid, examples to follow, commands to obey? When someone comes to Christ, I teach them the seven commands of Christ. Repent and believe, be baptized, pray, go and make disciples. Teach them about the Lord's Supper and baptism. I already said baptism, I think. Give and love. Everything we do has purpose and matters. In our small groups, just by practicing what we practice, we are seeking to raise up more leaders, lead more groups, and start more groups. You can start a group in your workplace during lunch. You can start a group in your family. You can still belong to the group that you go to on Sunday night or Thursday night or Tuesday night, and you can lead your own group on a different night. We are seeking to raise up leaders with a simple, affordable, biblical, reproducible process. Every time you go to small group, you're being modeled how to make disciples. Sunday mornings, we get here at 8 o'clock to set up for and to have fellowship. That matters. Y'all, John and I today intended to go pray over a teacher's room, and we end up just bearing our soul to each other and praying over each other. That happened because we came here early to set up. When I'm dust mopping and trying to get things ready and listening to the band warm up, man, I'm revived before we ever gather and sing. Singing along with them. 8 o'clock setup is important and matters. 8 o'clock worship team comes to practice. At 8:45, we meet with a group of people to pray over our services and pray for our church. All that matters. Studying the Word together, praying for the nations together, coming together for the Lord's table and sharing the Lord's Supper together, having our fellowship meals on the last Sunday normally of each month, not this one, provides fellowship. The last Saturday outreach trainings, all of this stuff, our ladies' brunch, the art of marriage, the art of parenting that's going to come this year, mission trips, service projects, membership covenant that we show you what it means to be a church member, this year as we read the one-year chronological Bible together. All of this is incredibly intentional for us to be disciples of Jesus that live for Revelation 7:9. So, next week, y'all, is part one, looking back. Next week, we look ahead, and we're going to talk more detail about how to use these tools and who we are as a faith family and why we do what we do. But for now, here's my question. Even on a Vision Sunday, how's the Lord working in your heart? Is He the Lord of your life? Is Jesus what characterizes you most? Are you committed to His kingdom work? Praying, giving, going, sending. Are you sharing the gospel? Are you in a small group? Are you discipling others or being discipled? Are you teaching your kids how to follow Jesus? Do you have a passport? Are you holding anything back from Jesus? I'm going to get the band to come forward. And we're going to have a time to respond. Worship team, sorry. I would say worship team. This is what I want to ask you to do. As you think about this message today, are you going to be numbered in that great multitude that can't be counted? Are you living to the end vision of Revelation 7:9? Hard to reach people you don't love. Is there any racism in your heart? nationalism, toward hatred against other people that needs to be done away with. Maybe God has put something on your heart that we hadn't even talked about today. He's so good to do that. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a song. This is a chance for us to just reflect and to respond. Whatever God's doing in your heart, let Him have His way. There's so much freedom and joy on the other side of surrender. If you need to talk, need somebody to pray with, there'll be some of us in the back to receive you. Y'all don't come to a gathering of worshipers without surrendering to God. Father, would you have your way in every heart for your glory? God, would you use Gospel Life Church for your kingdom? Would you help us stay focused on you and your vision of all nations before your throne? And would you use us in mighty ways that you get all the credit? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all stand, let's sing.